Watch your tongue. Better keep it in your mouth. We're going to talk about it. I trust that my visit to the doctor will eliminate these glasses. I have no assurance that that'll take place, but I'll have to have them every once in a while to see some of this. I can see you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate all your prayers. And I want to tell you, God loves you, I love you, and that's the way it's going to be. We're talking about endeavoring to do the will of Almighty God. These songs this morning sound so good. I hear the voice of God in our songs. I thought there were more people here than there are because I was listening to you. I didn't get to circulate as much as I would like. And I'll tell you about that later so I don't scare you. But it's so important for us to realize that as we love one another and allow God's love to work through us, that we can become what He wants us to be. I've been offering some lessons that have to do with our philosophy and our personality. I mentioned something recently to the elders who are endeavoring to get us lined out to do what God wants us to do, and that, I can tell you, that's what the elders want, and we're going to do our best to be what we need to be in trying to help you to be able to serve God as you want. Want to know where we're going? Well, I began some time ago, before we knew that Jeff and Ida were planning to move, and I know that you are praying, and I want to encourage you to continue to pray for Jeff and Ida as they change their lives in moving to another place. We want to make sure that we encourage them and that we express our love to them. And it is my fervent prayer as a minister of the gospel of Christ that this will be the last place that they will live before they reach the age of retirement. Now, I said the age of retirement. You know, several people have asked me, what are you going to do when you retire? And I said, well, I'm going to heaven. That's what a plan. When God gets through with me, then I'll do whatever He wants. But we want to pray for Jeff and Ida as they make this transition. Shirley and I certainly understand that part of life. It's not always easy, but there are some good things that can happen. I talked to you about lordship, leadership, fellowship, and fellowship that makes up the church. I talked about our words and our destiny. I talked about love, the heart of the matter, starting with John 3:16. Without these things, we cannot do the will of God. I talked about the foundation last time and the text that we deal with. If we do not stay with and follow the Word of God, we will not succeed. Everything is in vain if we do not follow God. We talked some about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to look at a song that we sang just a little bit ago from the book of Lamentations. If you know the Bible, you know that the book of Lamentations is a constant wailing by Jeremiah. He constantly is crying out. I don't know why he would do that. They threw him in a cistern and left him to die, so that shouldn't have made him too unhappy, right? Well, Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations to lament, to cry out to God. But in the midst of that book, there is this beautiful statement that was made. And we sang that song. It's number 892, of course, in our book, from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. And it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him." I'd like to suggest that you keep that where you can look at it when time gets really tough. When things are so bad like they were with Jeremiah, he is simply saying, God is there. His love never stops. He will help us. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. I had a friend who worked for Columbia Christian College, and he stayed with us a little bit. And he liked to use the illustration about two men who woke up in the morning. And one of them put his hands over his eyes, and he said, "Oh, Lord, it's morning." The other man woke up, took his hands off his eyes, said, "Oh, Lord, it's morning." Because God makes every day new. We get to start over. There are some things we're going to need to do. The leadership of this congregation wants to make sure that all of us can work together. We, as the eldership, need the input of all of you. We need you to talk to us. This is the Lord's church. It's not mine. I realize that my last name is Pope, but it doesn't have a thing to do with who owns the church. This church belongs to the Lord, and it's His that we want to make it what it ought to be. And the only way we can really do that is to work together. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you about James chapter 3, because it's so important that we say what we need to say. And James tells us that we should not, many of us, become teachers. I'm going to be reading from the translation that I use for this. It's a 1901 edition of the American Standard, or Revised Standard Version. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also." I was 20 years old. I don't remember what I had for breakfast. office. But I remember when I was 20 years old. And I was trying to preach. I wanted to use the illustration about the difficulty of a rich man getting into heaven. And so I was trying to use the eye of a needle and the camel. And I tried that 3 times. By the time that I tried it the 3rd time and messed it up, there were people rolling in the aisle. Because I never got it done. So I finally quit and went on to another point. Do you know how frustrating that is? I've never had much trouble saying what I want to say. I didn't say I have never said anything I shouldn't. But I can usually say what I want to say. And when you can't, it's really disconcerting. But James says that we all make many mistakes. And if there's anyone that makes no mistake in what they say, they're a perfect person. Now, do you know how many people there are or were on the face of this earth who never made a mistake? Sure you do. 1. Jesus Christ. When we make a mistake, we need to be able to correct ourselves. It's so important. And he gives these illustrations, and God willing, tonight we will deal with some of these things that he illustrates. He says, if we put bits in the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. And look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. When Shirley was in school, and her brother, younger than her, rode the school bus, quite often, he'd start something he couldn't finish. And he expected her to take care of it. Well, I think she finally taught him that that's not what he needed to do. But people dig their own grave with their tongue. We can do things with our tongue that are so inappropriate. And he said, so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. We all understand that. He said the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. He said this ought not to be. I don't know how many young men that I have told, when you get in a confrontation with someone, if you put your hands in your pockets and keep your mouth shut, you'll come a lot less having a fight. Now, sometimes people don't do that. And I've seen people, young people, who had no idea how small they were and how much they were going to get beat up because they couldn't keep their mouth shut. But that's true with us. And if we listen, if someone wants to argue with you, you know, one of my main things is to tell you that it takes two people to play uproar. If someone wants to just talk and talk and talk. And I said to our children on occasions when they would argue with one another, if you're right and you know you're right, you don't have to argue about it. State it and go on. But the tongue gets us in trouble. And James tells us that the tongue starts many fires. It is really important. And as we live from day to day and try to be able to say what we need to say and do what we need to do, then it's so very, very important to know that the tongue is going to get us in trouble. I wanted to go down to the 13th verse of this chapter because I wanted to make some comments about that. And I might as well tell you now, there was a little difficulty that arose earlier, and my backup sitting over here on the front pew, and another back on the back. You don't know how good it feels to know that there's somebody who's willing to step in. And I praise God that I'm able to say some things to you that I want to say. I don't know how many times I'll be able to do this or how long I'll be able to do it. But it's so wonderful to see you sit there and listen to these things. And they're from the Word of God. That's what we want to follow. If we don't follow the Word of God, we will fail. No matter how much we may accomplish, if we don't do the will of God. But beginning in verse 13, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Let me go over that again. I like the way this is translated. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. That is so precious. That is something that we need to practice. He reminds us that if we have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts, that we should not boast and be false to the truth. He says, this wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. I don't want to stay there very long. I don't want you to be like that. And I don't believe that you want to be like that. So he says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, and good fruits. Mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. Now the way this is translated, you'll find in the King James that the word hypocrisy is used. And the word hypocrite has to do with someone who is not real. And what they're doing is not real. We have some actors or actresses in this congregation. And I enjoyed that. When I was in school, I tried to be in every play that I could be in, and I enjoyed it. But I realized that's what it was. The last one that I was in, I was supposed to be a bachelor, and I was trying to raise two of my nephews. And that's what the whole play was about. Ah, but there was a red-headed girl involved. And so we were having this relationship of courting one another. You see, there was a little... I'm sorry. I got to tell this. There was a little bit of a complication. Against the rules in high school, Shirley and I had gotten married. And I have the lead role in the play. And this good-looking red-headed girl, the script said I could kiss her at the end. Well, she said, now listen, the rumor is that you're married. If you're married, you're not going to kiss me. And I said, you'll never know. But Shirley was sitting out there during the play, so you can guess whether I kissed her or not, okay? We're still together after all these years, so that's how we started. But we as Christians need to be real. Even though you enjoy being able to be in a play and enjoy that, and I always did, the reality is living for Christ, of being what God wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do. And He says the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity, no hypocrisy. And listen to this final thing. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you want this church to be what the Lord wants it to be? It's up to us now. Jeff and Ida are going to be another place. We have to look for someone that we want to work with us. I can tell you from our discussion in the eldership that we're not in a big hurry. We want you to talk to us. We want you to pray about it. We want to find someone who will work with us and that we can go together to become what God wants us to be. It's so important to do that. And I just want to remind you that what I heard this morning as we were singing, and I'm just about ready, John. He's up walking around back there, but he's ready for our closing song. But I want to remind you that if we live the way I heard us sing this morning, God will be pleased at what we do. Please pray that we may be able to do His will. And those of us who are trying to lead are not perfect. James just got through telling us that. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. I'm going to tell one more thing in the next 2 minutes. Okay. I moved to Henrietta, Texas when I was 24. One of the first times that I preached, I told people, if you hear me say something that is not correct, please come to me and help me correct it. one of our deacons was leading the singing that day. He came out and he said, "Boy, are you in trouble." He said, "People will be telling you stuff and they'll be criticizing you." And I said, "Fine. My task is to preach the Word of God. And if I don't do it, someone needs to help me see my mistakes." I've had Zacchaeus up in a tree. No, let's see, I had Nicodemus up in a tree. It was Zacchaeus in a tree, wasn't it? Yeah. See, you're listening. I didn't even know I made that mistake, and I saw people grinning. And after it was over, somebody said, "Do you realize you had the wrong person up in the tree?" We can make mistakes. But we need to be careful that we do the will of God, to try to say what we need to say in the right way, to love one another and care for one another, to be truly the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If today there's anything that you need to do in your life that we need to help you with, we're here for that purpose. The elders are going to meet, Lord willing, every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. And you'll be able to talk to us. We will help you in any way that we can. Please pray for us constantly. But if you need anything right now, we're going to sing this song that's been selected. And if you need to come forward, please do so.